Hello, I'm Penny Johnston, and welcome to Baby Talk for this week, where we're all surviving having the children home from school for the next few weeks.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
With everything we're being asked to do because of the COVID-19 pandemic, having children doing school from home might be one of the activities with the greatest degree of difficulty. I suspect all of us are stepping into the great unknown, finding this part of isolating from the COVID virus really difficult. I know I'm wavering between admiration for my child's resilience and enthusiasm for school and wanting to strangle him because he just doesn't seem to sit down and concentrate. Having school at home is way less pleasant than it could be, mainly because children are not able to take breaks to play with friends. And while the Zoom meeting app might appear to be a barrel of laughs for the first couple of times, that whole lack of other children to interact with isn't going to hold the attention of our youngest kinder and prep children for very long. So how do you manage the juggle between being the strict teacher, the lovely parent, and the hardworking employee that I know we all aspire to? Is there an upside? Are there some learning experiences that we as parents can take from this, our first time in isolation? We're getting the chance to be part of our children's education in a way we never have had before.
As for children at home, the richness of the environment at home, where they are living everyday lives and being really authentic in the way they're engaging with literacy and numeracy, is not going to detract from anything that they're missing out on if they're not at preschool.
So how hard do we need to go with the homeschooling? Are we going to put a dent in our children's academic education that we can never recover from? Today, with the good news, Dr. Elizabeth Rouse is Senior Lecturer in Early Childhood Education at Deakin University, and she joins me now. Elizabeth, it's great to have you online to help us today with learning at home. Tell me, how is your household going with the COVID-19 lockdown?
I've got adult children, but all of my family are at home. I've got this five of them at home, and I'm the only one with a job.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Five adults at home, and none of them have, they've all been laid off, and they've all been unemployed or had to take leave, or so it's an interesting dynamic here. And so my home environment is that I'm actually sitting out on my back veranda because there's so many people in my house that I've got nowhere else where I could actually have some peace and quiet.
Okay, so when
it's a beautiful sunny day, so it is lovely.
Okay, so when it comes to cabin fever or any of those frustrations of working from home, you are right with us.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, Liz, those of us who are facing up to second term of Australian school with children not going back, while in happier times we might have been delighted at the excuse of staying home with the children, right now I've got a feeling of immense dread hanging over me. I don't know how I'm going to cope.
Look, I think that this is a scene of immense dread for very many people. I think it's immense dread for the families, the parents, for the children themselves, and also for the teachers. This is the great unknown. It's a monumental challenge, and I'm not going to use the word unprecedented because I'm sort of a bit over the word unprecedented, but it's a monumental challenge for everybody that's never been trialled before on such a mass scale. There are many schools that are used to the infrastructure, particularly secondary schools are actually quite used to the infrastructure of children working remotely and doing and uploading their work into a central portal. But I think the challenge is, you know, when the children who are stir crazy because they've had 2 weeks at home, but the children will have had 2 weeks at home. I know in some of the states across Australia that working online was trialled leading up to the school holidays. And so some of the bugs have been ironed out, but the children have been at home for a really long time. And not only have they been at home on school holidays, they've been at home on extraordinary school holidays where they haven't had an opportunity to go to the beach, play footy, catch up with their friends, go to the movies, hang out at the shopping centre, do all of those things that children normally do when they're on holidays, particularly with family, or even go and stay with grandma. And so where children are usually really looking forward to the first day back of school, the first day back of school is going to be a completely different challenge for the children as well as for the families who are sort of saying, well, good, now the kids can go back and I can get on and be, or with the teachers who are really looking forward to catching up with the children. And that's going to be a different set of circumstances as well. So yes, dread's probably a really good word, but also opportunity, I think, is something else that we can look at, because the opportunities this is going to give us as parents is something that we'll never get to experience again. So there are some positives and some opportunities that parents can take from this that I think is really important.
A couple of weeks ago on the podcast, we spoke to somebody about working from home, and she actually explained her experience as a child who'd been homeschooled with her siblings. And she actually spoke about it in such a nostalgic and positive way. She said her siblings are closer than most of their peers because of that experience of homeschooling. And she said, you know, if you can, try and look at it as a positive.
There's a really great opportunity for families, because I think they are together. And it's that sharing, they're sharing this together. It's not as if this is happening to me and not anybody else. This is happening to everybody. So we're sharing that together. And I think having all of the family working from home is, you've got the parents working from home, but you've also got this, you know, there could be two or three children in a household all doing schoolwork. And so they're looking out for each other. And now if you're at my house, you'd be all sitting around the dining room table, because we don't have an office. We don't even have one office, let alone five offices. So we're all sitting around the dining room table, and they're looking over at what each other's doing, and they're sharing, they're saying, oh, look, you know, what about if you did that? Or what about if you put this here? So that shared learning is really valuable that come across families, because they are doing this together and they're jollying each other along, which I think is really lovely. But the other really good positive from this is the parents actually get a really strong insight, and they're never going to get this again, into what their children are doing at school, but also how they're learning and how their children like to learn, and the things that turn them on as learners and the things that turn them off as learners. And we don't get to hear, you know, as parents, we'll talk to the teacher at the end of the day or at parent teacher or whenever, and they'll say, oh, you know, they're doing fine. Oh, yes, they're doing all right. But we don't really get a sense of who our kids are as learners. And so having our children learning while we're at home with them and we're doing our work, so we're sort of peripheral but still connected with them, is a really good opportunity to just see how are they learning, what are they like, what do they do at school, how are they engaging with other children. So that sort of voyeuristic opportunity to see our children in school is something we'll never get again. And I think that's a really lovely insight for parents, to see their children differently than they've ever done before.
I have read in a few places that the educators and parents are feeding back that the most difficult zone for this doing school at home is going to be the early primary school years. They're the hardest to sort of try and replicate what's going on in a schoolroom, because there is so much of that really early learning environment that's basically learning to work in groups and discovering amazing messy things that are difficult at home.
Yeah, look, I think that's really true. But also, depending on the way the school sets themselves up, is that we've got some fantastic technology now, like we're talking together over Zoom. Zoom is a great platform that many of the schools are using, where they can do that group work. They can be working together. They can go into great breakout groups and set themselves up to do little challenges together. They can also set challenges. And the other thing about children being at home is they're in this house where they can set up all sorts of challenges around the house, so that they can be looking at natural, authentic ways to problem solve and get some challenges. So, and they can be working with their brothers and sisters or their toddlers. And I think that there are opportunities for young children to learn some of that structured group work that they are doing in classrooms in different ways. And I think the really exciting thing for me as a teacher is the opportunity this gives me as a teacher to think about learning in a different way that I've never thought about before. How do I do this? And so I'm challenged, but also am prepared to take up the challenge. Think, well, how am I going to work on those group skills for these young children? How am I going to work on that self-regulation? How am I going to work on that persistence that's really important for children in the early years of primary school, and also in the preschool years, because I know that they're probably also going to be affected by some of these changes as well. And what that looks like, I'm not sure.
if my child was still at preschool, I would be really concerned because they're the most important part of your education, that early entry into school and the whole process of writing and learning to read.
I think that what parents do with young children at home is equal to anything that the early childhood teachers are doing. Parents, you know, we in the early childhood field, we feel very strongly, and it's part of our mantra, that parents are the children's first and most influential teachers. And so what parents are doing with their children, reading to the children at home, is the most fundamental, or reading with the children at home, is the most fundamental opportunity that children can have to develop sound literacy. Doing other things with the children at home, sort of, you know, Easter egg hunts, where, you know, the next Sunday they're all going to be stuck at home with nothing else to do, so having an Easter egg hunt. So for numeracy, how great is that? You know, we've got big Easter eggs, we've got little Easter eggs. How many Easter eggs have you got? How many Easter eggs has your brother got? How do we make sure we've got the same number of Easter eggs? Running around the backyard, where will we go? We'll be inside, outside. Language around that is literacy, it's numeracy. So as for children at home, the richness of the environment at home, where they are living everyday lives and being really authentic in the way they're engaging with literacy and numeracy, is not going to detract from anything that they're missing out on if they're not at preschool.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely 100% certain, because children learn so much just being at home. You know, sitting down, setting the table for dinner. How many plates do we have to put out? How many knives and forks? Well, have I got enough knives for everybody? Let's see if we need any more. How many more knives do we need to get out so that everybody's got one? How many plates have we got? Who's home for dinner? Have we got enough chairs? How many potatoes will I cut up so that everybody can have some potato? All of those things that are just, that's literacy, that's numeracy, and it's authentic. And the way children learn in an early childhood setting is authenticity. Numeracy is about lived experiences using mathematical concepts. And what more natural lived experiences can there be in the home when we're doing all of these natural behaviours that are focusing on literacy and numeracy? You know, I've got to fold the socks. I've got to fold the washing. How do I fold the towels so that they're going to fit in the cupboard? That's numeracy. That's fractions. Sorts of things. So I think that, yes, you know, that there are so many things happening that parents, I think, don't realise how much learning their children are doing. And now is a great opportunity of some people to be able to sit back and actually see your children differently, and actually and celebrate how much they are taking in and how much they are learning in an environment that where they can just explore and experiment and be. And that's really important. We talk a lot about the early childhood framework, and the way we teach in early childhood is looking at children as becoming, belonging and being. And we're doing a lot of the thing about becoming. We're becoming ready for school. We're becoming ready to learn literacy. We're becoming ready to read. But what about the being? You know, children need to be. And the opportunities now that children have to just be at home with their family, be at home and discover who they are, be at home and think about what's actually their, you know, how they connect, is really important as well. And so I think I'm not worried that over the next 10 weeks our nation's going to have this dearth of competent literacy and numeracy learners, because I think that there's so many opportunities if we think differently about what learning is. Learning doesn't happen in the classroom. Children in the classroom for 5 hours a day. If they're at preschool, they're there for 15 hours a week. If parents are relying on that to be the total learning that children have, then that's not relevant at the best of times. And I think now recognising what children are learning, how they're being and how they're connecting, is really, really valuable for parents to just sit back and see their children differently.
You're making me feel a little bit better for your comments. Elizabeth, tell me, the children that I am feeling really sorry for are the only children at the moment. They don't have a brother or sister and they're stuck at home with adults.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, because school and early childhood settings is not just a place for learning, they're a place for social connections. And as I said earlier on, that the children were really excited about, normally would be really excited about going back to school and catching up with their friends and you know, filling them in on what they've been doing and reconnecting. And that's now not going to be possible. because of working from home and schooling from home. So it's really important for parents. And I think schools and teachers are very aware of that. And so they'll be setting up, particularly for those younger children, as many opportunities as they can to create that in time, synchronous learning, which is the way we sort of talk about online learning, where the children are connecting with each other in real time. But I think also for parents is to recognise that the children need the social contact as much as they need the learning. And we're all focusing on children's learning, but everybody seems to have lost sight of the fact that these children are disconnected from their friends. They can't play footy, they can't play netball, the sausage sizzle is cancelled, you know, they can't go on school camp, the fate's probably not going to go ahead. So all of those things that were really important for children at school, they're not having. And they can't play in the playground at lunchtime. They can't go to after school care. So I think parents need to be aware of the balance between focusing on their children as learners and focusing on their children as social beings and setting up opportunities so they can Zoom in. And, you know, so after school finishes at 3 o'clock, 3:30, most schools are finished by 3. So let's sort of have a Zoom session from 4 till 4:30 where we sit down with our friends and, you know, and have conversations, have afternoon tea together remotely with our friends via Zoom, set up some group Lego building so that I'm building with you mine and we can be sharing and talking. Creating those opportunities for social connections for the young children is as important as it is for us as adults. We're very good at it. We're going out of our way to, you know, set up a Zoom meeting with our mother who's down in Geelong, or connecting with our friends and having got adult children here who are having Zoom parties where they sort of sit there and play computer games and share with each other over a beer on the weekend. Adults are very good at that, but are we as good at enabling our children to be able to have those same social networks? And so it's really important to look at how we do that so the children can stay connected with their friends in the same way that we're doing it.
What about the structure of school? Because for parents, and you really don't want to sound like a complete whinger, if you are lucky enough to be working, structuring school when you're supposed to be working from home, have you got any helpful hints for how that might work?
A couple of things. One word that comes to mind is patience. I think we all have to be really patient. We've got to be patient with each other. Parents have to be patient with their children. We've got to be patient with the teachers who are trying really hard to make this work. And we've got to be patient with ourselves and understand our own limitations. And we've got to be patient with our colleagues. So that if we are having a Zoom meeting, as I said to you as we first started this, you know, I'm at home, I've got 5 adults and a dog that's barking. I'm surprised the dog hasn't started barking and interrupted this conversation. But the other thing too is that everybody's in the same position. It's not the bosses, the employers, the CEO, the manager. They're also at home, working from home with the same constraints that we have. So it's not, it's one in all in these circumstances. But I think the other thing is to try to set up some reality, but also some routines, is that when children are at school, over a school day, they will be in a classroom learning for no more than 5 hours a day in total. The rest of the time they're playing, or they might be doing sport, or they might be at the library. They're doing a whole lot of other things in a classroom, particularly those younger children. And so they're not sitting in classrooms from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. And that the classrooms, particularly for younger children, are structured so that that nothing goes for longer than 20 minutes. And in a 20-minute program, children will have got up, they will have moved around, they will have done 3 or 4 different activities, they'll have moved around the room, they'll have had a break, they'll have gone and got a glass of water. So thinking about that's really important, so that we're not putting the pressure on the children to be learning all day. I think that's the first thing. But then setting up some routines where we can be setting some family rules around how we're going to manage this. I've got my job to do, you've got your job to do. So how do we do this? So school is so we'll all sit down from 9 till 11 and we'll get on with our work, and then at 11 o'clock we'll get up and we'll have a break. You know, because if we're in the office, that's what we do. We'd go and have a cup of tea or have a coffee or go and talk to our colleague or go to the photocopier or do something. Children would be going out to play. So setting up that sort of structure and those routines that we're all in this together. This is work time, then we'll have playtime, and when it is playtime, I take my time, play time as well. I put my phone away. I'm not asking you to put your phones away and not play computer games, and then I'm actually going to be on my phone when it's playtime. So that we're setting up, we're modelling the right sorts of behaviours for children, but we're also structuring the day so that we can actually be realistic. And I think even to think about us as workers, if we were in the office, how much productive time is actually spent in actually working, because we're responding to emails, we're at the photocopier, we're talking to colleagues, we'll get up and we'll move around, we'll have a meeting with the boss, you know, we might go back to our desk, we'll have a break, so that we're not working 8 hours a day without having a break either. And so it's about putting that into context and modelling for the children that we're working and you're working and having work time, all sitting around the dining room table together with our laptops or our devices, all doing our work together because it's work time. And it's modelling those sorts of behaviours, I think, is really important, and accepting that we can only do what we can do. And I think the other thing that when it comes to patience is also to have patience and recognise that we're all going to have a bad day, that you'll wake up and think, I just can't do this today. The children feel the same. So giving the children permission to be having a bad day and saying, okay, now's not the right time. Let's have a thing about what can we do about this? So together the children are working with the parents to make some decisions about, I am having a bad day. That doesn't mean I'm going to give up, but it means that I might be able to have a break, maybe go for a walk around the park, go and play the footy for half an hour in the backyard, then come back and sit down. And so that they've got some sense of control over decision making around their lives in a time where they have no control. The children have no control at the moment about anything really that's happening in their lives. And as adults, as humans, we need to have that sense of control. So how do we give the children some sense of control over the decision making that they can be part of, but also being honest and setting those parameters for them?
I'm finding we're having quite a few bad moments, some shouty days, and yeah, it is tough.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that it's really nice to do is all having, and I know many families, because in the past we've all been so busy, you know, that we might not get home from work until 6:30, 7 o'clock. It's a really lovely opportunity to now all sit down together at having a shared meal at the end of the day, which is really lovely as a family, and to start the meal off by saying, tell me about the best thing that happened to you today. And all going around the table, and because we're all together, the best thing that happened to me today was that the sun was shining and I could sit outside and get my work done. So that we're all having opportunities to share what's good about the day, but also that lovely time that parents have, particularly with young children at the end of the day, where they may be having a bath, giving them a bath, or maybe sitting in bed with them, reading them a story, is a really lovely time for the children then quite often to talk about how they're feeling and to say that, I'm actually not feeling very, very happy, Mummy. I'm feeling really sad today because I miss my friend Johnny, or I really, really wanted to go to the football, and Granddad and I have done that every year and I can't go. So that lovely one-on-one time that young children have with their parents at the end of the day is really, really important, because that's when they will tell you how they're feeling. If you ask them to share how they're feeling on your terms, you're not going to get that story.
Do you reckon this is going to launch a few research projects for people in the education realm like yourself?
Oh, absolutely. We live to do research in academia. Uh-huh. And this is just research stories happening. I've got a number of students that are out on placement at the moment. They started their placement 2 weeks before the term break, and they have another 8 weeks afterwards, and this is just a research heaven where I can do some research with these students once they're finished to think about how did this opportunity help them think differently about learning and about learners and about teaching and about teachers and about curriculum and around all of those things. I think this is just this is research heaven for us academics. We're very excited. Yeah. It's a fight on who's going to get there first.
And it's also, out of diversity sometimes comes amazing innovation. Do you think that this will change the education landscape for us forever?
Oh, I hope so. I'm thinking, as a teacher, the opportunities that teachers have now to really think outside the box, because there are no rules. Everybody is grappling to make this work. And so innovation, we don't have any precedent to be able to draw on. So we're all flying by the seat of our pants trying to make this work. All the teachers and all the schools, all the education departments, all the teachers' boards, all the universities, everybody wants this to succeed because we know the importance of keeping that learning happening over this dysfunctional time. So because there is no rules, the rule is we keep the children engaged, we keep them learning, we try whatever we can to make that happen. That's so exciting for a teacher and for a school to be thinking about how do I do this? And at the end of the day, to be able to sit back and reflect on what they did differently. I think it'll help us look differently at curriculum. Instead of thinking about, you know, we've all got to make volcanoes today, it'll make us think differently about what is the key concepts that underpins this curriculum strand or this particular level. What do I really want these children to be able to learn? And how can I do this differently because I don't have the same opportunities? And so that's exciting for teachers to be able to do that. And I think it will help teachers think differently because they'll see the children differently in the way they're learning and approaching their learning. And I think that's great. That's so exciting.
Dr. Elizabeth Rouse, Senior Lecturer in Early Childhood Education at Deakin University. And I hope her wise words have allayed some of your fears about educating your children from home. But it is really tough, and we do all need to go easy on each other and on the teachers and on the schools and probably the politicians too, if we can. It's a difficult time and we're all finding new ways to navigate our way through it. Last week, we spoke to an obstetrician based in Melbourne about how things have changed for mothers giving birth during this pandemic.
I talk openly with my patients. It's okay to feel really sad about the fact that you haven't had your baby shower and you haven't had the people in labour with you and you haven't had people come and visit you in the hospital. You haven't had people come and meet your baby at house afterwards. It's actually okay to feel really sad about this not being how you planned it to be.
And I know that would be a really difficult situation to manage. On Baby Talk, we are a weekly podcast. We're trying to cover everything you might need to know during this COVID-19 pandemic with lots of interviews that we hope you'll find really useful and be able to use in whatever situation you find yourself in at the moment. I do hope you and your family are going well, and I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.